from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the rewrap. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on newstalkzb in a silly hour package. I am Glenn ZB. And this morning, the Italian bank hack is sort of a cyber Italian job for you. John Bradley, you might know him as Samwell Tarly of Game of Thrones. Yeah, only the most successful television show in the world right now. Mud, like Colston Newcastle, they're bringing mud to Rotorua. And finally, how drinking affects your memory. But before any of that, UK's proposed car ban. They want petrol, diesel gone by 2040.
There is the political backlash. Previous governments have begged motorists to go out and buy diesel cars. They've offered incentives to do so. So you start this off with angry constituents. You need electric cars to be affordable, which they currently are not. So who sorts that out? The government? And how much does that cost? What about the charging network? There isn't one. Who pays for that? And what does that cost? Now, that's not to say... It's not to say that in time all of this won't happen, but whacking arbitrary dates like 2040 on it all doesn't help. What about vans and trucks, the lifeblood of British industry and business? There is no electric replacement. Are they exempt? What about the car manufacturers, of which, A, there are many in Britain involving thousands upon thousands of jobs? How many of those are lost? And what are the political implications? And B, will car manufacturers stop making petrol and diesel cars just because Britain's banned them? Of course not. Why? Because the rest of the world, and that is where the people are not banning anything. China isn't, America isn't, India isn't. And between those three, you've got half the world's drivers. And if they want combustion engines, that is what they will get. So in essence, what you have is a toe in the water dressed up as a full-blown synchronised swim. Britain might like to do a lot of things, but grandiose headline-grabbing pronouncements do not a reality make.
Okay, I'm taking a deep breath. I'm going to try and make this next segue work. Here we go. So one of the electric cars that is available in England now is there's an electric Mini going about. Now, perhaps the most famous Minis were the ones in the Italian Job and then the remake of that movie. I can't remember what it was called, but it had Matt Damon in it. Anyway, they drove Minis as well. Would they have suffered range anxiety in those Minis? Stay with me here. Do you need to use an electric Mini if you are hacking a bank via a computer? It didn't really work, but let's talk about it anyway.
How bad's this hack?
Oh, it's bad, isn't it? Not one, but two security breaches on Italy's biggest bank, UniCredit. Data regarding 400,000 customers' loan accounts are said to be at risk. Now, these breaches occurred, one in September, October last year, another one in June, July this year. They've just come to light this week. Now, the bank is saying that no account numbers or personal data have been breached, but that's not very reassuring for customers. And by the way, I'm one of them, so not very happy about that. Milan prosecutors have opened an investigation, but it's very worrying when you see bank security at risk and so easily can be hacked this way.
It's funny you should say that. I've just received an email from Portugal that's got your PIN number here. Do you want it back?
I just tried the 800 number, couldn't get through, of course. UniCredit says it's allocated $2.3 billion to modernise its IT systems. But really, it's not much consolation. I think it's very scary for all of us, isn't it? You put your money in the bank, you think it's going to be safe, and you've got no idea.
Joe McKenna in Rome there for us. Is it racist of me to say I don't really think of people using computers in Italy? You just sort of expect old school banking for some reason. Abacuses, a lot of bifocals, or what do you call those glasses that have only got half the lens at the bottom? You know, those sorts of that sort of thing. Note page paper, mechanical pencils maybe, a lot of that sort of stuff. I don't know why. It's completely irrational. It's a fantasy, like Game of Thrones. Oh, I see what I did there. John Bradley from Game of Thrones with Mike Hosking. He's a massive fan.
Now, you come out of drama school, you've never done any work before. Do you worry that the Game of Thrones has ruined you?
How do you mean?
In the sense that one job, first job, is the greatest job of all. What can possibly top it?
Yeah, I do start to think about that. But in terms of my own satisfaction and the kind of feeling that I get from acting, that's still kind of available, I think, no matter what size of production it is or the kind of esteem that the production is held in. I get satisfaction from acting, from creating moments. And you know, working with other actors and finding those little beats and making scenes work and telling stories. And you don't necessarily have to be involved in the biggest show in the world to be able to do that. You can do that on stage. You can do that in smaller films, smaller TV. That sense of satisfaction, it's never less intense just because the projects, you know, are less successful or less, or a project that's held in kind of less high esteem, because we can't really think about how big the show is when we make it. When we're doing those things, we can't think of it that we're part of the biggest show in the world. You have to kind of forget about that. You have to concern yourself with making it good before it can be big. So I don't think it's an actor's job to ever think about the size of the project they're in when they're doing it. But they should just think of how good it is and try and make it as good as possible. Then if it becomes big, it's kind of out of their hands, but it's got to be good before it can be big at all. So I think what I get from acting, I don't necessarily have to be in a show the size of Game of Thrones in order to get that feeling, I don't think.
You can hear a very long version of that interview on the News Talk ZB website if you like. In fact, it's surprisingly long given that I'm pretty sure Mike's never seen one single episode of Game of Thrones, vaguely aware of what it's about. I don't think I would like to act on it because it's always so cold and snowy, especially if you're up by the wall there. Anyway, that's what happens when winter spends so long coming and then stays for many years. Right, back here in New Zealand, there's going to be a mud festival in Rotorua, but for that they'll need mud. They've gone overseas for it.
When you get to a mud festival, what is it you're doing with it?
You mean when the people who go to enjoy it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what they do, they know they're going there and for the first time they can frolic around in it to their heart's content all afternoon, all day. They treat the mud and clean it, but I mean, mud is mud, and they have various slides and different things. They even have a mud prison where you stand in there and people can throw mud at you, and you go with your friends and you wrestle in it. And you, that's what we wanted to see, is what draws people to it. And by gee, we took a lot of pictures. We, you know, walked around to the various venues, and then they have, of course, products. It's apparently supposed to be good for your skin and everything. And
yeah. Now you're going to bring it in because mud's heavy.
I know. Mind you, we've got mud itself here, and the professor who's who started this all is helping us here in Rotorua to what we should do to prepare for it. We've got natural mud, of course. But it's a huge learning curve for us, and we're going to do our best here, yeah.
All right. Well, you have a great time, Trevor. Listen, I appreciate your time very much. Trevor Maxwell, Rotorua Lakes Councillor. I felt momentarily in a parallel universe there. And as Glenn points out, very interesting episode of Border Patrol coming up with the mud. I mean, what are they going to do for the mud when the mud comes? And mind you, having said that, we shouldn't make fun of mud, because I'm a massive fan of Suits, and I note that season 7, the latest season, has just dropped. And Lewis Litt, who we've had on the program, of course, and who's probably one of the best, if not the best, character on Suits.
You've only got 45 seconds to make this connection. I hope you can do it.
He's a mudder. He goes to a spa and sits and soaks in mud, and it's a thing, apparently. And because Trevor's right, it is very, very good for your skin. You've just got to be, you know.
And also, as Trevor says, mud is mud.
Can't argue with that, can you? I mean, that's what makes the Mike Hosking Breakfast number one. You lay the facts on the table, just let them sit there.
So that was Trevor Maxwell. He's on the council. He went to South Korea to look at the mud. That's why I love this job. You just never know what's going to happen when you come in. You might find out some very good news about the effects of alcohol on the brain, for example.
Further good news, drinking improves your memory. And so just in case...
I forgot that.
Yeah, exactly. We'd all forgotten that, but now it is official. Drinking improves your memory. So they did a big group of people, and they learnt something, and then they had some drinks. They split them into two people, into two groups. The one group, you could drink as much as you like. Imagine that. Imagine being in a survey where they go, right,
how
now,
do I get this job?
100%. Couldn't agree more. They wouldn't even need to pay me to be there. But, interestingly, on average...
Is this next to the pizza taste testing room?
Exactly. The average was only 4 units. When given the opportunity to drink as much as you like, the average person in that group said, I'll just have 4. Anyway, they had 4, the other group had none. The next day, they came back, did the same task again. Those who had been drinking remembered more. I rest my case. 22 minutes away from 7. Glenn, have you been drinking?
Sorry, I just forgot to play the music just there. I was just letting all that sink in. It was just such amazing news.
Mike then ruined everything at the end of the show by publishing another study. Which found the opposite was true. That it's bad for your memory. So I don't know what to believe, so I'll do what I normally do and believe the thing I want to believe. I am Glenn ZB, and to be honest, I usually actually drink to forget anyway. I'll see you back here again tomorrow with more rewrap, if I remember.